Go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Let's pray together. Father, as we come tonight as your people, please help us, Lord, through your word. Lord, open our eyes. And Lord, with this topic tonight, please give us understanding. And then, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Please strengthen us as your people. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse I wanted to start with tonight is verse 28. Paul gives a list of all the things that he's been through as a servant of God. There's several things there. Beaten of rods. 4 times he was scourged. That means he received 40 stripes, save one. That means 4 times he was beaten with a whip, 39 times. To look at his back, it must have been a scar fest. Beaten with rods in the deep. Then he says, in perils. And then he says, in verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which I've been through, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You would think with all that he had been through, I don't know any Christian that has been through this list of sufferings for the Lord in serving God. So nobody sacrificed like Paul did. Nobody gave what Paul did. And he said, that's what's happened without. Every day, though, I have a burden. And that's the care of the churches. The churches that God used him to start. He would go to the area, lead people to Christ, wait for get a man called to preach, and then he would move on to the next city. And he said, the churches, God has used me. He had a burden that he carried daily. The care of all the churches. The name of the sermon tonight is Haunts That Should Never Leave or Burdens That We Should Never Lay Down. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Not everything that haunts you and me is considered bad. The word haunt means to visit often. It means disquieting, harmful effect. It means from problems that we ignore. The word haunt means to reappear continually. There are haunts that we should allow in our life, or you could rephrase it, there are burdens that we should always carry. Always carry. You're in Matthew, listen closely to Luke. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he, Jesus, said to them all, the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. As I read the Bible, there's burdens that we're all supposed to carry and that we're not supposed to lay down. You're in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus told us to take our cross. Look at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There must be something about what the Apostle Paul went through physically he didn't need a break. He didn't say, okay, fine, you're going to whip me? You're going to beat me with rods? That's it then, I've served the Lord enough. He kept on going and was beaten with rods many times, several times whipped. All of this, he kept going, and he never said, I need a break. I'm not against taking a vacation, and I think not taking a vacation is foolish. God worked 6 days in the Bible and rested on the seventh. They've already proved in other countries you cannot work 7 days a week without it destroying your health. In other words, rest is important. But there's something about serving the Lord, the burdens that God gives us when we get saved. There's burdens that we're supposed to carry that we shouldn't need a break from. And if you need a break from serving the Lord, you're not serving God right. Because you should, in His service, I think Paul's an example, you should be able to find rest for your soul. I can get tired, I get weary, I can keep on driving and pushing. When I was in college, I learned I could go on 3 hours of sleep, but eventually my body broke down. And I could always count on being flat on my back with a high fever for 1 week every semester in college. You just go and go until you drop, and I know how to do that. I'm glad those days are over. When I feel my body break down now, I've learned my body. When I feel it breaking down, I know how to slow down. But I don't need a break from the Lord. I don't need a break from serving God. Let me state it this way. I don't find in the Bible a burdenless, sacrificialless Christianity. I find a Christianity that bears burdens all the time. I shouldn't have, in other words, I've heard people say this, oh, I just need to take a break from church. You don't need a break from church. If you need a break from church, then you're not doing something right. Wait a second, if you serve God right, if you get in the yoke with Jesus, a yoke is for two animals, but Jesus said, I'm on one side and you're on the other, and you pull with me to produce, it gives you rest. So if you're serving the Lord right, you don't need a vacation from the Lord. You do need a break from the world. Amen. The world will wear you out and throw you in a trash can when they're done. Jesus said, if you serve me right, I'll give you rest and peace in your soul. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. This is just introduction. So Jesus said, take up our cross daily. We're supposed to die daily. We're supposed to serve the Lord. Paul said, I never stop caring about the churches and the spiritual welfare of the people that God's let me lead to the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse number 2. Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. There's not a contradiction there, but 1 Peter chapter 5 says, cast all your cares on the Lord's. Here's what we're supposed to do as Christians. My burdens, I'm supposed to give to God, because He tells me to. Give me your burdens and your heartaches and your trials. If I carry my burdens, they'll destroy me. Have you ever seen that happen? Nervous breakdowns, anxiety attacks, heart attacks, ulcers, from people not giving their burdens to the Lord. So God tells me, you give me your burdens, and then I'm going to give you my burdens. My burdens that God says I want you to carry every day won't destroy you. Yours will. So give me your burdens and take my burdens on you. What are some burdens then that God, I believe, gives us to carry as His child? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. Your burdens, God says, give to Him. And if you play around with them too much, I'm telling you, it'll take your health. It'll hurt you. Then we're supposed to, once we give our burdens to God, then we're supposed to carry the burdens He gives us. What's one of those burdens? Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. And then notice this phrase, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hell. The lost are on their way to hell. Jesus said in verse 18, when a person dies, there is no courtroom. They're condemned already. The gavel has already been sent home. When their heart stops beating for the last time, they go to hell and the burning begins. Hollywood twists everything, but no, there is no, well, I'll appear before God and let him figure it out. It's already been figured out. If you're lost without Christ, you die and immediately go to hell. And the burning begins. That's what I think one of the saddest things about Islam. Can you imagine those people being lied to? Well, if you'll crash this plane into the towers, then the moment you die, or, you know, they carry those suicide bombers, you know, those bombing vests, and they go into the schools or the horrible places. If you'll just push the button, the explosion happens. And then they're told, then you'll be in paradise and there'll be 70 virgins. What a filthy lie. Can you imagine? Have you seen pictures of them? Before they push the button, the sweat's coming off. They're scared to death to die. And they're... And then when they push the button, the burning begins, and it never stops. What an awful way to lie to somebody. What an awful thing to tell somebody. One thing that should haunt lost people is hell should haunt the lost. It is real. It is real. All of creation witnesses against the lost. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. The first witness that all lost people have about salvation is creation. God's creation witnesses of his power. If you can look at a tree and think it just evolved, then you are a fool, like the Bible says. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If you can look at your body and think, oh, I just evolved from a monkey, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. The body, the brain, the eye, take any aspect of your... God made you. You didn't evolve from a puddle of bacteria in a... off a rock? And then it just gets worse. You didn't evolve. God made you. God made you. All of creation witnesses. Then... It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. All lost people have a second witness. They've got creation, and then God tells us in Romans 2, they have their conscience. Their conscience, God put in them. It says here, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Romans 2. So they've got creation, they've got their conscience, and then there's a third witness that all lost people have about hell. Creation, conscience, and then John 16 says, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he, the Holy Spirit, will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. They have three things that remind them. Here we go. Here's the sermon that haunt them. Lost people. Creation reminds them. God made you. Their conscience witnesses. God made you. You're going to stand before God one day. And then finally, the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin. They've got three things that reprove lost people or haunt lost people. That's a burden that the lost carry. You can now take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Now the first burden is a burden God puts on all of creation. about being saved. The lost are haunted. They have a burden. Now, they'll fight it. They'll do drugs, get drunk, party, all of that stuff, drown themselves in the rock music, drown it out. They'll try, but they've got God's witnessing against them. You understand? They're haunted by hell. You're going to be judged one day. You're going to give an account. Now, let's go to the Christian. In Revelation chapter 20, what's one of the burdens that we should carry? Verse number 11, Revelation 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." So the earth just exploded, like it says in 2 Peter. Now, as the earth explodes, those that are in hell, everybody, they're floating, and there's no place to hide. And there's a throne, a great white throne. It says there was found no place for them. Nobody can hide. There's nothing, no rocks, nothing to hide behind. It's just a throne, and there they are. Then watch this, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So before eternity begins, the earth has exploded, the new heaven and new earth are getting ready to come. But as the all for 6,000 years, 7,000 years of world history, everybody who's ever died in the ocean and in wars and in plagues and in disease, all, everybody that has died without Christ is now resurrected and given a new body. And then as they stand before God, every Christian ought to understand Revelation chapter 20. They get a new body and then they're standing before God. And the books are opened, which Jesus said every idle word will give an account of. Many think that those, they said if you took and every word and wrote it down that you ever say in life, you could fill 5,500 page books. Okay, so the books are opened, and that's recorded everything that they've done. And then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they're judged by their works. That means they're going to hell when they die, because nobody can work their way to heaven. And God says, check their name. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was then cast. And the Bible says the angels will take them and cast them into the lake of fire. That's the great white throne judgment. That's every law, the sea of faces. We'll be there, but we'll be there in the grandstands. We won't be the ones being judged. As children of God, we'll be in the, well, if you read 1 Corinthians 6, we'll be in the jury. We'll judge the world. We'll do the sentencing. You can read 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 5 on that. But tonight, all I wanted to give you a picture of, when you read Revelation chapter 20, a burden that we're all supposed to carry is that the lost are going to hell. If somebody doesn't tell them, they're going to go to hell forever and they'll never get out. That's a burden we're supposed to carry. I had a truck driver come up to me and go, you know, and I preached on soul winning, and he goes, you know, I travel from east coast to coast. He'd travel, come back, spend a couple of days, you know, truckers, you know, the long distance one, that's a hard job. He said, when you preach on soul winning, he said, I feel this burden. He said, that I've never felt before. And I said, don't fight it. It's a burden that we're all supposed to carry. When you sit at the stoplight, watch the people go by. If they don't get saved, they're going to hell. And the majority of the people are not saved. I'm sure a few are, okay? But the majority aren't. They honestly think everything's going to be all right. They don't know that the bridge is out. They don't know that they could die any moment and they're already condemned. That's a burden all of us are supposed to carry. It's a good burden. It's what makes us what we are. It's why we do what we do. How come the Bible is so important? Well, one, I'm saved. But how come I act the way I do? Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody so they don't get saved. It's a burden that helps make us what we are. Think about this just for a second. 180 people die every 60 seconds. Out of those 180 people, 139 of them go to hell every minute, every 60 seconds. That means every 3 seconds, 7 people go to hell. Every 3 seconds, 7 people go to hell. 124 people of the 139 that go to hell every minute have never heard the name of Jesus one time. In the time it took us, okay, from the time you left your home to the time you get back to your home tonight, 12,510 people will have went to hell. There's 14,000 people in Mechanicsville. You could say almost the population of our town goes to hell in the world now every time we have church in the time frame. You say, I never thought about it that way. It's a burden we're all supposed to carry. Don't fight it. Let it make you. It's a burden God intended for you to carry. We're supposed to think about the people we work with. We're supposed to think about our family. We're supposed to think about everybody that God leads across our path. It's what makes us what we are, if you'll take the burden. Did you know if someone didn't tell you about Jesus, you could be in hell tonight? How bad do you have to hate somebody to not care if they go to hell? One atheist said, I lose respect for Christians because if they really believed there was a hell that you burn in forever and ever, then how come they are scared to talk to me? Interesting. He said they don't believe in a hell. He said, I've only had one person in my lifetime give me a gospel tract. So to him, Christianity's a joke because we're too scared about rejection to tell somebody about the hell that's real. I thought that was very interesting. He is still to this day not saved. But he said, that's why I lose respect for Christians. That fired me up. Amen? That put a thought in my head. It helps me. As a child of God, there are burdens that we're supposed to let consume us. My burdens, and I'll say it again, are supposed to be cast on the Lord, and I'm supposed to carry His burdens. And instead of sitting and moping and feeling sorry for myself, I'm supposed to give it to the Lord and go get somebody out of hell. Amen. That's good. Burden number 2 for us. Take your Bible and go to Galatians 6 now. Galatians chapter 6. What should haunt us or revisit us continually as a Christian, or what burdens are we supposed to never lay down? Truths that are supposed to push us, that make us what we are. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's a law about sowing and reaping. Sowing is casting the seed, right? Reaping is harvest, right? And you always reap or harvest what you plant. That is a Bible law that is supposed to be considered in everything that we do. How come you're supposed to treat people right? Because you reap what you sow. Well, they stole from me. They're going to reap what they sowed. You be honest. You do right. But yeah, but how they're treated, they told a lie. They'll reap what they sowed. God has so stacked the universe that you can't sin and get away with it. You reap what you sow, Christian. It's supposed to help us with how we treat people. Okay, be careful, because there's a law about sowing and reaping. It goes this way. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. Always. You plant one seed in the ground. The stalk comes up. Whether it's corn, whether it's wheat, whatever. You plant one grain and you get multiple. That's the law of sowing and reaping. How come I should give properly? How come I should treat? Because you reap what you sow. That is a burden that every one of us is supposed to live with. It makes us what we are. Watch this. I like saying this. That's a burden that we should never want a vacation from. Well, I'm just, can you imagine somebody saying, I'm just sick of this. I'm just going to, I just need to go kill somebody. how stupid is that? No, you need to always, that's why you help everybody that you can. Well, I was stranded one time without gas. I had to walk 3 miles to the gas station, got gas, still nobody offered to help me. I had to walk 3 miles back to my car. You reap what you sow. You reap what you... How come you should be friendly? Because you reap what you sow. How come nobody's friendly to me? Are you friendly to anybody? Live in your cave? Or live in your Facebook or Twitter page or Instagram or Snapchat or... It's amazing. People live in this digital bubble and they don't touch anybody. They don't look anybody in the eye. It's just a couple of words. That's all they see. That's their contact. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That's burden number two. There's burdens that we're supposed to carry as a Christian that we're not supposed to seek escape from. Number three tonight. Go to Numbers chapter 32. I've hinted towards this. This does kind of build on each other, but Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Numbers 32, look at verse 20, Numbers chapter 32, and look at verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed, notice that word armed, over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward he shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, in other words, if you're not going to go fighting for your brethren, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, the context of that verse is he's telling the tribes, you're supposed to go and fight for your brethren while they take the land that God's given them. Then you can come back to your land. And if you won't go fight for your brethren with them, that's a sin against God, and your sin is going to find you out. I have that marked in my Bible this way. When you could have protected yourself and you didn't, that's a sin that's going to find you out. I think every home ought to have a shotgun. Amen? Shotgun's the best home protection weapon. You say, why? Because you ought to be able to have a means of protecting yourself. And if you don't, your sin will find you out. I hope it personally doesn't. You understand? But no, I tell my mom and dad. My dad said, what type of gun should I get? I said, a whole bunch. Dad got a shotgun, so I'm glad. I'm glad. He had a .22 and... that, and I said, Dad, just get you a shotgun, put it by your bed, amen, that's country boy stuff, amen, and keep it loaded, and teach the kid. You say, we got kids, teach the kids about guns. We taught our kids about guns from the time they were this big. Daddy's gun is right there. What do you do with, what's the first thing you do when you pick up a gun? The first thing you do is you point it towards the floor and you see if it's loaded. This is how you see if it's loaded. We've taught them that from this age. Every home, all I'm telling you is here in the context of the verse, you know the word armed going through there? He said, if you won't go to war and fight for your brethren, he said, your sin will find you out. That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Now let's generally apply it. Your sin will find you out. I already told you, God has stacked the deck. Nobody sins and gets away with it. God's keeping track of all of it. Amen? And no, your sin won't send you to hell if you're saved, but your sin can make your life a living hell until you get to heaven. Your sin will find you out. If you think about this, what sin? This verse should haunt every person who's living in secret sin. Remember that sin is fun for a season. It is fun for a season. It has pleasure for a season. But what sin are you hiding? The wrong music? The wrong pictures? How about, it's amazing to me what people put on Facebook. And then they get upset when people find out, well, what'd you put it on Facebook for, knucklehead? Why, how could you put pictures of that about yourself? My goodness, where's decency anymore? Amen? What about wrong movies? Whatever you're hiding in your life, your sin will find you out. God has made it that way. Your sin will find you out. And you can only hide it for so long. God's curse and judgment on sin should haunt us. Number three. Ready? Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Remember, there's burdens that make us what we are as Christians. There's no such thing as a burdenless, crossless Christianity. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. There are burdens that we're supposed to be thinking about, and it's supposed to consume us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the rapture chapter, watch this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now look at chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Watch this. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, or the rapture that he just described to you, is going to happen like a thief in the night. It's going to come as a thief. If you knew when the thief was coming, then you wouldn't get robbed. The whole idea is this. Jesus could come any moment. He's coming. And then he's going to say, come on home, Revelation chapter 4, and then these glasses, these fillings, praise God, these hearing aids, everything is going out, I get a new robe, I'm through that, and God says immediately, and we'll be forever with the Lord. What'll be left behind is a pile of clothes and all the blood in your body. For all those that are left behind, it will be scary. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. You should be glad you're saved. Now what is something that I'm supposed to be living for and expecting? The rapture can happen as a thief in the night, anytime. Then wouldn't that change where you go and how you think and who you run with? Can you imagine the person going to the nightclub and then the rapture happens and they're saved? All of a sudden, poof, there's Jesus. Can you imagine the shame? And they ought to be ashamed. Now, praise God, they're in heaven. But their life was a joke. If you knew it could happen any moment, then wouldn't that change some of the decisions that we make? Can you imagine the Christian that thinks it's okay to get drunk? And then all of a sudden the rapture happens. Boom! Everything's gone and there's Jesus. It's going to come like a thief in the night. Now wait a second. These burdens that I'm giving you tonight from the Bible, they make us what we are. How come you don't go to a certain place? How come you talk the way you do? How come you act the way you do? Because of the burdens God's given me to carry. They make me as a Christian what I am. My love for the Lord, first of all, right? But these burdens that we carry, people are dying and going to hell. The rapture could happen any moment. Then Christian, live such. Then there should be places you say, I don't do that, I don't live that way, I don't talk that way. You say, why? Because I don't want to be embarrassed in heaven. And there will be some, read 1 John chapter 2, there will be Christians who are ashamed when the rapture happens because of what they were doing when the rapture took place. Can you imagine somebody who could have been in church but wasn't? I think being in church is important. No, I want to watch Hee Haw. I know Hee Haw isn't on anymore, okay? It's what I grew up watching. But can you imagine? I cannot help but think, I don't know when the rapture is going to happen, but I think it's going to happen sometime when we're in church. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I think it would be. Person that wanted to stay home and scratch, watching, all of a sudden, uh-oh. Do you see how the burdens that we carry, what God gives us, I give my burdens to the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I have burdens. And if I don't, they'll crush me. And in return, I take God's burdens. And there's things I'm supposed to bear daily. Daily. The rapture is our lively hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The rapture is our blessed hope. We're supposed to be living for it. One more. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Go to Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll close with this. There's one more burden that we should bear. There's one more haunt that should be revisiting us every day. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read verses 5 to 11 with you, and then I'll tell you the burden. Isaiah chapter 53, and look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. The word cut off in your Bible means he was executed. He was cut off at age 33 and a half. Our Savior, wounded for our transgressions. Keep on going. It says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Who was he crucified in between? Two thieves, right? But Joseph of Arimathea's grave, the rich man, he just needed to borrow a tomb, right? So with the rich in his death. This is all about the Lord Jesus. Keep on going. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, and yet, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What a verse. When I combine Isaiah 53, verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When I combine that verse with Matthew 27, verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was taking place? Darkness for 3 hours when God shut the lights out, and then God bruised his son for my sin. Bruised, it pleased the Lord to beat his son for my sin. What's a burden that all of us should carry every day? The burden of Calvary. What God went through for your sin. What your sin cost God. That's a burden we're supposed to. It's what makes us what we are. How come we're supposed to be thankful to God? Because of what he paid for my salvation. The burden of Calvary and what God went through for me is supposed to be a burden I carry every day that I don't ever seek an escape from. I'm going to make the statement one more time. If you need a break from the burdens God's given you, you're not carrying them right. It's what makes us what we are. Don't lay them down. Take up your cross daily. The name of the sermon is Haunts That Should Never Leave, or Burdens We Should Carry for 2019 or Until Jesus Comes. I hope this is a help to you. It's been a help to me. Let's pray. Father, please, could you use this, Lord, burdens that we're supposed to carry.